The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio. Believe it or not, today is the 6th of March already. It's pretty cool in Albany, New York. They're talking 50s during the middle of the week. This weekend, it was probably, I'd say at least zero to 11 degrees. Big snap from 70 a few days prior to that. So very interesting stuff, and I do believe we still got some more winter here. I'm fine with it. I love the cold. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Carmen Caputo on today. Just go out and look at all the shows Carmen and I have done over the year. A monster amount, just like everything else out there. As I said, we got close to 700 podcasts already recorded. That's only in a little over 2 years, which is pretty amazing considering all the other stuff that's going on. Also, too, motivationmuscle.com. Go out and get our two ebooks, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, and there's a 30-day ebook out there. If you like power rack training or you've never gotten into it, you're going to get a little dose of that on the bench and the squat. And the middle of the week, you're lifting sandbags. And I put one of my routines in there with a sandbag to get you ready to lift stones. So you're going to see much more stuff coming out because we got three brand new products coming out. And wait till you see the thing I have on sandbags and stones. It's already up on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, but it's not basically in launch mode yet. It will be. It looks like I'm going to meet with Chris this week. 14th looks like the launch date of March. Etched in Stone, it's called. And this directly goes after males with a lot of estrogen, a lot of weakness, and you're going to see what we're going to start you out with. We got Dr. William Wong on board. We got Steven Santangelo on board. We've got Jeffrey Smith, who's a medical doctor, on board. And we got Dory Peterson, who's an RN and obviously a nutritionist. So not only do we have the best people in the industry and we're real legit, but it allows me to really train people the way I want to do it. Because I used to do it all. I don't want to do that anymore. And if you've been paying attention to any of the video, Dennis weighed 271 when he came. He's down to 245 already. I didn't want to do a lot of this stuff initially with the sandbags and the stones and the sledges, and you're going to get to see some pretty amazing stuff. The goal is to get him down to 240 before I implement phase three, and then we'll have him down to 200 the end of June, and then you're going to see what strongman really is like over here. So stay tuned for that. But Dennis, that all goes in with our Winter Circle product. Educator, teacher, Carmen will understand that. You're always a teacher in mind. I called it that because I said it's nothing against coaching, but like physical culture and everything, I just think it's beaten into the ground, core, all that. I did it educator, teacher, because both sides of my family are teachers, and it was an honor to them. And I just felt like it was time, you know, I want to blaze a new trail with names. So that page is called Educator Teacher. 1, 2, 3 all bleed into one another, basically. They're all great. And then you're going to see some great stuff coming down the road, too. So check all that out. Well, like I said, we got Carmen on here, and I'm going to give you a little bit of bio on this gentleman. Number one, Carmen is a U.S. Marine veteran. He's a retired school teacher and a champion weightlifter, and I believe it's 57 years. I got 56. Is it 57, Carmen?
Yep.
Okay. See, I didn't forget. And we're going to talk today about record day, and we're going to talk a little bit about Carmen's meet this past weekend and how he broke two records, one in the bench press and one in the deadlift. And I'm sure he'll say it, but, I mean, the man's 71 years old, and we all know in society – Well, I don't even think it's probably the new norm anymore. It used to be 40, you were dead in the water. The way I see males now, and we're just talking males, probably 25, you're dead in the water now. Carmen, I know that was long, but welcome back, my friend. We'll get talking about that, but anything I missed, please give it out.
You said it all, buddy, like always. You cover it all, and I appreciate the compliments and the comments. I mean, there's no getting around it. I've been pushing iron for a long, long time. And in fact, it's this week in March 1960 that my first set of weights arrived at the house from York, Pennsylvania. My parents bought me a York Big 12 special.
And, you know, think about this, Carmen. In 1960, did you ever envision in 2017 you're still lifting?
I didn't think I'd still be alive.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, man. A time or two
in the Marine Corps, I was thinking, okay, you know.
Yeah,
Is this the end of it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's just, it is absolutely amazing to think that not only are you still lifting, but you're competing and you're winning. And before we get into this, I didn't read this, and this is going to be quick, as this is going to go right into everything we're talking about. This is from Of Stones and Strength, Steve Jeck and the late Peter Martin. I read this passage a lot, and it's chapter 33, Sons of Sisyphus. And I'm just going to read a very short thing, and we're going to get right into Carmen. But this plugs right in to record day and where we're going to go from here. It's on page 107. It is at the foot of the mountain that men are proven. Here a man must choose to take up his stone or surrender his dream. No assurance of victory is given, and yet, like Sisyphus, one must conclude, and this is our good friend Steve Jeck right here, the struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. I'm going to read that again because it is so important. I read these four lines here every morning when I get up and when I go to bed. The struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Think about that. If you have the book, read that passage. Read the whole thing if you want. But I'm telling you right now, the struggle is what it's all about. And a lot of people say, no, it's not. Well, yes, it is. Carmen, what do you think? I mean, you know, 1960. Yeah.
The journey is where the success lies, not at the end. The journey is where you learn everything.
Yep.
You know, that process from starting, and you make your plan, you set your goal, you make your plan, you work your plan, and then you hit your goal and you start over. I mean, it's all about the process, you know. And I think we've created a society that wants instant gratification. They don't want it now. They want it yesterday.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
I've got young people that come to see me. They say, can you train me? And I said, sure, but understand the fact this is like running a marathon. It's going to take time, you know.
Yeah.
If you're overweight, it took you a certain amount of time to get that way. It's going to take that same amount of time to get it off safely.
Yeah.
And you have to commit to something. I don't like seeing talent wasted, Eric.
Nope.
Whether it be athletic talent, intellectual talent, artistic talent, you name it.
Yep.
If people have a talent, use it, exploit it, get it as much, milk it as much as you can, you know?
Well, you know what it is, Carmen? I'll tell you what I think it is in a lot of ways. We talked a little bit about disconnect, you know, when we started the show, I think before we came on.
Right.
And there's a big disconnect in the world. There's no doubt in my mind, all right? And the problem I see right now, unless you get these kids really young, and we're talking, well, look at Danny. He's 6 years old, and he's lifting sandbags. And then, you know, John Patrick sends me a note yesterday with video. His 2 5-year-old daughters are lifting stones. And then our good friend Kelly Johnson, her little girl's 3. And her son's 5, and they're lifting sandbags. Now, let me ask you this. You know, we talk disconnect. We talk about, you know, instant gratification. We talk about, you know, Dennis, 271 pounds, Carmen. Yep. You know, a month and a half ago, he'd be shot just running 10 feet practically to the point where I had to baby him so much because you know what was going to happen? He's going to end up dropping dead on me. You know what I mean? So now fast forward it. Now things are starting to move, you know, 245 now. But he's still got a long way to go. But the point is, he understands that, and I remind him every time, and people say, well, that's awful mean. Really? Here's what I say to him. This is a deal with, like, he'll start dying out, and he'll say, geez, and he'll be huffing and puffing, and I look at him, and I said, who got you there? Yeah. He goes, no, I know, it's all my fault. But I said, I want you to remember this, because when you go down to 200, and we're going to do a certain way of training, okay, we're going to really go with a strongman program that's going to be pretty wild, let me tell you. And this will take him and harden him and build him in a whole different way. So I always remind him of that. Now, here's the question, though, and I know the answer. How can we get these little kids doing it and we have such problems with adults? And I'm going to just give my little thing, and then I want to hear your comment, and then I want to get right into record day. Their minds aren't all poisoned. Right. They haven't got to them yet via whether it's the assembly line of schools or different parents or what they're absorbing through a TV or reading and maybe can't decipher or hearing adults talking. And now, look, Danny is 6. He's got an 8 and a 12-pound sandbag. Now, he's not forced. He'll come to me, or if I go over and see him, or he comes here. And that's the way it's going to be. And I say to him every time, I said, when you're 13 years old, you're going to deadlift 500 pounds. He's probably heard that already 50 times. Yeah. If this little boy, besides both sides of the family, because my brother-in-law was a semi-pro football player and he's a big dude and he still is a football coach, can you imagine what this kid's going to accomplish? And you know what? I don't even care. Well, I do care, because it would make me very happy. I'd love to see him, whatever he wants to choose, if he wants to go athletically, football, Olympic weightlifter, strongman, he definitely has a gene pool. But you know what's even better? When that little boy turns into a young man and then a grown man, he's taking all these lessons, and when he's out in society, not only does he lead, but he could run a Fortune 500 company if that's what he chooses to do. So, my question to you is this. Where has things gone wrong? I mean, you've seen much more than I have, obviously. And let's just relegate it to men. What has happened to men? What do you think?
I think is when people are children, they don't know to not be confident.
Yep.
They say, hey, I can do that. You know, and it's the adult world that gets into it and saying, well, you need to be careful. You might hurt yourself. You know, we yep. created a helicopter society. And I'm thinking part of being a kid was getting scuffed up and saying, oh, crap, maybe I better not do that again. Or that was good. We can still do it. Now, I think we have taken that as they get older, they get exposed to more negativity. Instead of people saying, yeah, you can do that, they say, oh, be careful. You don't want to hurt yourself. Yep. Why are you doing that? And I hear that now at 71. I'm still lifting, competing, and people say, what's wrong with you? Aren't you on a couch? And I says, because that's not happening.
Yeah. You'll be dead on the couch, believe me.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
I said, there's two things that I know. Three things. Number one, I know I'm going to die. But secondly, I'm going to die a friggin' Marine, and I'm going to die as strong as I can be.
Bet your ass. Absolutely.
And that's it, Jack. Yeah. That's it. That's my mantra, you know. And I try to get that across to these young people that come to train with me.
Yep.
And I've got them from 14 all the way up, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell them, I said, you are your own worst enemy.
Yep.
When you say can't or you say can, either one of those is going to be right. Because if you say, I can't do that, well, then just leave.
Yeah.
But you come in and say, I can do this, then let's load up and get after it, you know. I had a 14-year-old girl lifting with me Saturday.
Yep.
All of 98 pounds. You know, her belt fits around my thigh, right?
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
But that little rascal is, you talk about a warrior.
Yep.
She does not back off. I had a guy come up, and I had a 59-year-old lady who's going to be 60 in June, grandma, lifting with me. And I had a guy come up, and he said, how do you train women? And I said, well, how do you train guys? You teach them the technique.
Oh, God.
This is what you do. This is the basic mechanics of a deadlift or the basic mechanics of a squat. You know, if you do it this way, you're going to get tweaked. If you do it this way, your body will work with you. I said, we teach them that. We go over the fundamentals. Then I load the bar and say, there it is. Are you tough enough to do it?
Carmen, though, you know what's happened, though? Seriously. Sensibility has been just thrown right out the window. And you know what this is about? Not only is it about, you look at any info commercial, you look at most of these quote-unquote lifting books, strength books, whatever you want to call them out, mental books, everything just has layer on top of layer on top of layer. So after you've read probably three chapters, if you got that far, you're more confused than before when you bought the book.
Sir, yeah. You know, common sense has left the physical culture, physical training medium.
Yep.
Used to be, you know, here's what you do. You learn how to do the motion. And once you've learned it, then you just keep going. You practice, and as time passes, you add weight, you add weight, you add weight. And before you know it, there's no more weight left in the gym, and you got to buy more weight.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not rocket science, Eric. It's just a matter of staying with something and just committing yourself to it and saying, okay, I would like to be able to do this. How am I going to be able to do this? By working your tail off. You know, you don't get strong by sitting on the couch eating Cheetos. I mean, that's kind of cool in a way, but that's not going to help you, you know?
Well, let me put it to you this way, all right, Carmen? This is how I see it. We talked about this before we came on air. And there's a definite change in all of us when we finally dial into this stuff. And I say, this is my theory on all of this stuff. And it doesn't matter who you are, but we're gonna keep it to guys. There's something inherent in all of us that truly, truly wants to be the guy wielding the pickaxe or the sword or whatever, the big knife, the Rambo knife. Right, it's in us. And I talk about what is it that will set you off. And if you're lucky enough for that to happen, it's going to come out of you and you're going to be very successful in everything. Two things, Jimmy and the Incredible Hulk. And I've said this on the last three shows, and I'll make this quick, go back to you, and this is going to lead right into our record day here. As a boy, little boy, young boy, you know, you look at your brother. And you know, initially when you're young, you're not seeing a lot of what's going on. But once you see the falling and the falling and the falling, and the next thing you know, you're watching him get fitted for a wheelchair. That scares the piss out of you. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
All right?
I know.
And I'd go to my parents and say, can I get that? And of course you can't. But, you know, and your parents are very understanding. And, you know, I'm putting them in a situation, I'm sure, okay? So, all right. But still, I'm afraid. And I remember going to there used to be a corner store probably a couple blocks from my house. And they were all, you know, it was all families that all went to school with us and all that. And the father and mother owned the place. And I remember going in on the comic rack and seeing the Incredible Hulk for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
And there I am, starting to look at the magazine, and I had enough change in my pocket, and I bought it. I got home and read that thing from cover to cover and read it again and read it again. And I looked at this figure, and I was like, you know what? If I get strong like the Hulk, I'll never get muscular dystrophy. Now, how a kid equates that, I have no idea, but I was frightened of it. Now,
well, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, though.
Yeah.
You had not been told you couldn't.
Right.
As a kid, you know, the world is in front of you, and you're full of confidence, and you say, yeah, I can do this.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm just going to train my tail off, and I'm going to get so dadgum strong, nobody's going to mess with me.
Exactly.
No illness is going to hit me.
Nope.
And as you get older, you realize, well, you are benefiting yourself by training, but you're not going to be impervious, you know?
Exactly.
You have created a better way of dealing with that crap.
Yep. But the nice thing about that was now I believed I couldn't get it.
Sure.
All right? And I knew, you know, when you're that age, 10, 11 years old, and you see this 13-foot giant weighing 2,000 pounds that can do anything, that's a big thing for a kid, whether you got a brother that's ill or not. And that those two things were what fueled me to where I am today, and they still do. I am a Hulk freak all the way. I could be in a supermarket and see a Hulk comic, and I buy it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said today, you know, I told everybody this. I did a brand new article on it's actually on Fiorello Barbell Company website. I called it The Unsung Hero. My mom was going through a lot of old pictures, some of the stuff we didn't need anymore, and she found this picture of Jimmy. And this had, I would say this picture was probably at his zenith before he went down the other way. And I'm looking at him right now, and the smile on his face, and he's a beautiful boy. I mean, my brother, you know. And I'll tell you right now, I took that thing. Now they have a correction. You can go to Staples because I wanted to put it up on the site, and it didn't have the right pixels. Well, lucky technology now in that instance was good. They could take a picture and make it 2,400 pixels, and now Jimmy is up on FBC. That's a big thing to me because Jimmy, you know, more people got to go out and read that story. Because when you think you're down on your ass and out, that kid never gave up.
He fought it to the end, didn't he?
To the end. You know what happened to him? This is how Jimmy died. Jimmy got pretty much pneumonia, and, you know, we kept him home.
Yeah.
And my poor mom was up with him every night, and she was just so tired. And Jimmy went to bed. He and my brother John shared the same room, and Jimmy was dead that morning. They found him.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so it was the only time, and this is very hard for me to talk about, too. It was the only time I ever saw my father cry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My father was one of the toughest Italian, and you know what it was? It was just like they said in The Godfather. And a lot of things I didn't understand with my father. You know, we butt heads constantly. I was never afraid of my father, nothing like that. And my father, we always had a safe home. I never felt unsafe. You know what I mean? All those things that now people don't have, and, you know, I never thought of it until, you know, now I'm sitting here talking to you and other people I've talked about. But he was one of the toughest men I've ever met, and in a good way, too. But losing a son or a daughter, I can't imagine the devastation they went through.
We're programmed.
Yeah.
Is people in society, we're programmed to acknowledge the fact that at some point we're going to have to bury our parents.
Yep.
We are not programmed as a parent to that you're going to have to bury one of your kids.
Exactly.
Because your kids are your legacy. And you, when a child dies, you're thinking, oh, my God.
Yep.
You know, it just is horrible.
Yeah, it is.
You never get over that. You're never, you know, and I'm sure your dad carried that with him till his last day.
Oh yeah, I think that I don't know because Jimmy is a very touchy subject. I'm really the only one that'll bring him up.
Yeah.
Because I read that Unsung Hero to my mother and she was like in tears.
Yeah.
I know she carries it with her all the time. I do too. I mean, I got him staring at me in the face right now, and it's like, you know. And I'll be done with this shortly. It's like this, you know. Wouldn't it be nice? And I know they're there. I believe. Hey, look. I know a lot of people don't, and I don't bring up religion here. I believe in God. That's my thing. If you don't, that's yours too. I truly believe that He's on my right shoulder every day.
Sure.
I truly believe. You know. And when I say things like in the show, when I say about John Ridge, about my father Frank Klein. You know, people of that nature that were so important in my life and such male figures to me. and gave you the ability now. I mean, they're not here with me in a physical sense, but I'm thriving because of their leadership with me when I was younger.
Right.
It doesn't eliminate me from taking over, because I know that, you know, as my father always said, be a leader, not a follower. He used to say it to me till I wanted to jump out a window. But now today, absolutely, he's spot on. And I know one day we're all going to meet.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be a long time. But, you know, I would give anything to have John, my dad, Frank, and Jimmy sitting with me while we were doing this show right now and just listening to everything that's happened, to be a part of it, to get to ask my father some questions one last time about the business. What do you think? You know, you've seen things. Same thing with John, all that. It's a very interesting process, the things you go through and the things that you do and learn along the way. But all these things didn't happen for nothing, and they're all coming out now through the show and everything we're doing here, because this is a story here. This is a real story about a company that thinks so highly of their brother that, you know, I would dedicate the company to Jimmy, to everything here with Jimmy. And it's not, it has nothing to do with the money aspect or anything. If you can't draw strength from this guy, you're dead. You're dead in the head all the way down. Because
there's something wrong with you if you can't can't get fired up over that, you know.
Hey, that's the way things are. And you, now let's talk about getting fired up. Now, I'm going to just build this shortly because we'll let Carmen take the reins here. We already talked. Everyone knows. If you don't know, Carmen is 71 years old. He's been lifting for 57 years. You heard him say he got his first weight set in 1960. So he competes, and he breaks the record in the deadlift and the bench press. So build this up a little bit, Carmen, and let's take the family through this.
Well, you know, training is, for me, is as much mental therapy as it is physical. And, you know, we talked earlier, when the first time I grabbed that bar, I unpacked that set of weights and I loaded it up after reading the courses. And the first time I grabbed that bar, I thought, this is something I can do for a long time. Oh, and I didn't think 57 years.
But still.
When you're 15, 16 years old, you're thinking, you know, 57 years, there's no way. But I think what it did for me is it gave me a ton of confidence in the fact that, hey, I can do something that a lot of other people can't.
Yep.
Okay? And I'm doing it on a regular basis. And you, and weightlifting is interesting because you start out and you know, everybody's weak when they start. And weak is a relative term. But everybody is weak. And as you get into it, you realize, hey, I'm getting stronger. And what does that do? It fires you up to add more weight so you can lift more weight later on, so you can add weight to lift more weight later on.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I tell people I could finance several around the world cruises for psychologists. My head is so screwed up, you know.
Yeah.
But weightlifting keeps me sane.
Yep.
For a variety of reasons. Stuff that, you know, we've all got baggage, Eric, stories and whatnot, but it helps keep me sane.
Sure.
And I just love the way it makes me feel when I'm able to accomplish something that I know not many other people can do.
Yep.
And I have that attitude of that. When I'm in the gym and I've got my training partners with me.
Yep.
And we're working and the iron is clanging and everybody's busting chops, you know how it is. I mean,
sure.
it's a testosterone loaded environment. And even the women that train with me get up into it too.
Yep.
I get this image in my mind. You know what this is? This is a bunch of Viking warriors in their main hall getting ready to do battle.
Hey, yep.
And by God, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now. But, you know, there's no weight in this room that I can't lift.
Yep.
And that's the attitude you have to have. You know, and I had done some – this meet was scheduled a couple of months ago by Ricky Crane, who lives in Shawnee, which is 30 miles from where I am. And I – did a little research on the USPF site, and there was – I have a record with them in – well, two records with them in the 65 to 69 bracket. And so I contacted them and said, is there anything in the 70 to 74? And they came back and said, no. And said, well, okay, get ready because it's going to be something done, you know. And I just worked it out where I wanted to do this. And I really think on the bench press I could have done a little more. I have to be very careful of my elbows because I got so bad arthritis in them, you know. But it worked. The weather was cooperative. It was a little cool, but it was not cold. And it wasn't raining. Rain is my nemesis, man. That just hobbles me up anymore.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, everybody's got issues. You just got to man up and do it. It was a 283-pound bench press.
Nice.
And it was that random a number because I told Ricky, he's the state coordinator for the sport, for the USPF. I said, I have the state record at 282. Can I go a pound more to break a state record as well as set a national record? And he said, yeah. So that's what we did. And after I did it, if anybody has seen the video, it looked easy and it felt easy. I probably should have gone 290 at least.
Yep.
But no, after the fact, it all looks easy. And if I had gone 290, it laid on my chest like a dead rock, you know? But I was extremely tickled with that.
Yeah.
I went into the meet confident and enthusiastic. I had 8 other people lifting with me. Like I said, I had this lady who's going to be 60 in June. Another buddy of mine is in his mid-50s. He's a retired Air Force guy. And then another fella who's in his mid-50s is a retired Army guy. And that was his last meet. And I wanted to make sure that we went out with a bang for John.
Hell yeah.
He had some health issues. And so he promised his wife that this would be it. And then I had young Z, who's 14, and a total badass. You know, she really is. She's a cool kid. She is a cool kid. And it's just so much fun to work with her. Her mama was one of my students. The year my wife and I were engaged, her mama was in my class. So there's history there, you know.
Yep, yep.
And it's just awesome to be able to do that. What gets me is it makes me feel so good is that these former students come around and they have enough faith and confidence in me to let me work with their kids.
Yep.
That is a feeling that is unique, you know. But anyway, I had this goal in mind, and I was working my plan, and my plan is just to bust your butt and push yourself every workout. And some workouts were disasters, and more than some were successes. And I try to feed off success. And I read a book by Arnold's buddy Franco Colombo years back.
Yep.
And Franco said in that, and I really and truly liked him better than I did Arnold. I thought Franco was a piece of work.
Yep.
He's Italian for one thing.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
But he was I'm 5'8", you know. Franco was a small guy, and I knew I'd never be 6'3" like Arnold, but I thought I can get strong. And Franco said one of the things that he did is make sure that every workout he ended with a successful rep.
Yep.
He said, because if you finish with a miss, the next time you go into the gym, your mind is fried.
Yeah.
He said, well, even if you've got to back off a little bit from your top end, finish with a success.
Yep.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I had my goal, and I said, okay, this is what I want to be able to do. And I'm not going to lie to you, there were more times than not during the training that 280 gave me fits. But of course, I do a lot more reps in training than I do in a meet. I only take 5 or 6 warm-up reps with increasing weight, and then I go up and do it.
Yep.
So by the time I hit that third attempt on that bench, I'd only had like 12 reps into me.
Yep.
And I usually do 12 reps in my warm-up set, you know? So my elbows were cooperative, and I was fired up for several reasons. Having Z on the team, when she's able to lift with us, it kicks me in the butt because I think I can't let this little girl down, you know?
Right.
And then my buddy John, it was his last meet, and I said, I need to make sure that this is a memorable meet for him. And he lifted very well, you know. And so he set a couple of American records in his weight class and age group. And I'm thinking, this is what this is all about. I'm doing what I love to do, and I'm doing it with people I just enjoy the heck out of being with. You know, and we're dominating the platform. We're showing people, hey, this old guy has got some quality lifters. They're having fun. They're not angry at one another. Everybody encourages one. Whoever's out on that platform, the whole team gets on the side and screams at you. How are you going to fail?
You're not.
You know, because if you do, you're going to have to walk off and look at them, and you know they're going to hang you by your nuts, you know?
Sure. Well, and that's what I say, too. It's like, you know, when we talk family here, it's a family. It's an extended family. And you don't want to let anybody down. I mean, that's the main thing. And they're there to encourage. You know they can't lift the bar for you, but, you know, adrenaline and the vibe around you is everything. And, you know, when we talk, like, I say now, you know, we used to always say alpha male here, but that's another thing way too overused. I always say what's going on with the show and everything outside of my window right now, I call it a big testosterone balloon.
Exactly.
You know, it is. And,
you know, in Saturdays here at our gym in the backyard, Saturdays, my wife comes out and keeps the score for us, if you want to call it that. You know, she logs everybody's lifts so we can keep a record.
Sure.
And I like to do that so I can plot their program and see if they're making progress or what we need to tweak here and there. And she comes out and sits and just shakes her head. You know, she said, I love you, but I don't understand you sometimes. You
know? Hey, I know that feeling well. I know it well. But you know what? That's what's so unique about this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at your 71. I've said this on multiple shows with everybody. Unless you really hurt yourself or you have a big health problem, there is not a sport out there that I know of that you can go to the day they put you in the hole.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
You know, yeah.
You know, and I know from the 65 to 69 group in the USPF, I hold the bench press record at 300 pounds and the deadlift record at 500.
Yep.
And I was a little discouraged with the pull. It was 440, which seems to be a standard for people because I post these videos on several, this strong and over 40, and all that. And there's a lot of people from other countries, and they use the kilo system. And 200 kilos, which is 440 pounds, that seems to be a standard for folks in other countries. And I get these comments as, holy crap, you know, how are you doing? How do you do that?
Yeah.
And my answer is I never quit.
Right.
One thing. And secondly, I'm too stubborn to quit.
Yep.
And thirdly, I have a standard for my own self that I feel I need to meet. And I am probably, my wife tells me, she says, you're your own worst critic because I'll do something and I say, I should have done that better.
Right, exactly. But you know what the
Anybody
whole thing
lives does that though. Anybody who lives seriously does that because you're always thinking, I can milk another pound or another 5 pounds out of this, you know.
Well, if you were satisfied with everything you did, you wouldn't even have reached where you are with this milestone.
Well, that's probably true because
I'm done.
You know what? But I can't quit, Eric.
No, you're not the only one, Carmen.
There are still old goals to be met, you know, and I still have them. I mean, I know more than anybody that I am extremely fortunate. I can train at home.
Oh, yeah.
My health is good. I have arthritis, but who doesn't at 71? But I can still do what I want to do, and I can still carry the groceries in one trip, you know?
Hey, isn't that great? You can sling this bag on top of absolutely. It has... There's so many benefits with what we do, and I say this all the time. You know, people say to me, well, I don't want to lift 500 pounds. I'm looking at them and say, well, you know, I wouldn't say it to them. I'm thinking in my head, you're never going to lift 500 pounds of anything.
Well, my question to people who told me that, they, you know, and I think that that's based on jealousy.
Absolutely.
They're too damn lazy to get in the gym and work for it because anybody can do it. You know, I've had people say, well, I wouldn't want to do that. And I said, well, why not?
Exactly.
Why don't you want to test yourself?
Yeah. Well, like I said in the beginning, the disconnection of the male, you don't really have to go out and, you know, they like to use the word hunter-gatherer. You don't have to do much of that. We've turned into a world now. I love to, and there's gyms here, Planet Fitness, which I don't even want to give them a plug.
Oh,
one of the things they've got when you walk in, I've been told, is we don't judge. And it's like, let me tell you something, folks.
Why not?
Right. If you don't judge yourself every time you get up out of bed every morning, you better find where that disconnect is coming from because you got some wires that are split. And You know, I tell people this. All right, you don't want to, say, deadlift 500, or you don't want to squat 500 or whatever, bench or whatever you're going to do. But you know what? You don't have to. The point, the beauty of weightlifting, sandbags, stones, anything, is this. You can minimize anything down to whatever it is to get started. And is that not the way to do things? Get started. Get that 50-pound tire off your waist. You know what I mean? Get that melancholy, agreeable smile at everything smacked right off your friggin' puss, buddy. I got news for you. Because you know what? You can listen to every single thing out there and piece that and piece this. And, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, the concrete jungle. I got news for you. You damn well better worry. Because you know what? Somebody could beep a horn at you, or you beep them, and they'll get out of the car and put a crowbar right through your head. We are living in times right now. In some instances, it is the best of times. In others, it's very scary because you don't know what you're meeting up with on the outside. Maybe it's always been that way, but I see much more of it now because of just the way people are behaving. And well, they go ahead.
I just thought of something as you were talking about that.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know what you can do if you don't test yourself?
Exactly.
Are you complacent with the fact, hey, I'm 40, I'm 45, I'm 50. It's time to just go to the couch and get the remote. And I like to do that. I mean, after I deadlift on Saturday, I don't move much because I'm so damn sore.
Yeah.
But there's times for that. But you don't do it all the time. But my point is, if you get put in a position where you have to respond to save yourself or provide for your family, are you going to be able to do it? Or are you going to just become fodder for the carnivores out there who's running around?
Yeah.
And I will be a son of a gun if I'm going to knuckle under.
No way. And you know what? That's the problem. Too many people are knuckling under right now. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They won't open their mouth. They're afraid of their own shadow. I've said this before on shows. I can't tell you the number of people I meet where they look down. Look down. What's the matter with you? You know, I mean, I learned that years ago with martial arts. You know, don't walk with things in your ears and don't look down.
That's right.
Because right there, you're a target. And you see, you know, I feel bad for a lot of kids now, and I do think the bullying is way overused, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of kids being picked on by other kids, and that's the way school's always been. But you know what? I'm not saying go out and be a bullying anybody around. I'll use that word. But you know what? You have, if you have children, you really have an obligation to teach them how to defend themselves. And I don't care if they're 3 years old or 15 years old.
Right.
You can do things in a way where you can make it fun. But they're going to realize how to do things, and the chances of them being messed with or hurt are going to be much more remote than someone that's just kind of gliding through life with that big smile on their face, that dumb-looking grin I see all over. Or you get the opposite of the alphabet, and you look at them, and they'll be like, F you, man. I'm like, you know what? Words are cheap, and I don't like rudeness. And I know we live in a society now where that's what it is. There's a lot of rudeness. There's a lot of people looking at you. Look, I meet up with people that look at me like they want to break my neck. You know what I mean? It's
I don't know about back there. I haven't been back in Central New York since I joined the Marine Corps in 63. I was raised there, you know.
Yep.
But out here in this part of the country, I hear this saying quite a bit, and I heard it a little bit in the Marine Corps, too, is, you know, don't let your mouth write a check that your pansy ass can't cash.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that, you know, but like you just said, somebody comes up and says, F you, and you say, okay, let's go. We'll see. You know, if you're going to be, if you're going to project that image, you better have cash in the bank to back it up.
Yeah.
You know, and I've told my son coming up, I said, Marine Corps got a saying, you just walk with bearing.
Yep.
Act and walk like I'm not going to take crap from anybody. That doesn't mean you've got to be a jerk and be a bully or an overbearing individual. Just project this aura Hey, I'm confident in myself. I know what I can do. And if you pull my chain, then you better have a lunch with you, because it's going to be an all-day whipping on the ground, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And this is what is far too common out in the world. And then when they meet up with a rattlesnake and they get their head shoved through the ground, then, you know, now we got to get the lawyers and, but God help you if it's something that, you know, they love to put out there with this, that, and the other thing. Then you got big problems. But you know what? Don't go looking for trouble if you can't take care of the stuff that's going on.
Exactly. You know? And be a jerk, you know?
Well, yeah, and you know what? You know, I know the signs of people that, you know, train or in shape. I know what they are. I just go about my business. I mean, you know, we talked about on a few shows back about that kid Fred, who's older than me, used to beat me up a lot.
Yeah, right.
And then that day he did it, and I snapped, and they had to go get my father. I would have killed that dude. I was smashing his head right in that stucco wall, man. And
he
his
never bothered you again, did he?
He never bothered me again. And you know what? That little candy ass even started shedding a little tears. But you know what? I had enough. And what happened was, I don't know how it happened. I just positioned him enough where I grabbed him right by the side of his throat on each side, and I got a hold of him, and the kids couldn't even get me off him. And I'll tell you, Carmen, I wanted to kill him. If the old man didn't get me off him, I probably would have killed. I mean, his head was cut and everything. It's a wonder I didn't take a piece of that stucco and shove it right through his head. Is that the way to be? No, I don't condone that, but you know what? As a kid, a young man or an adult male, you don't let people screw around with you. You got to end it, or it's going to grow, because as everybody knows, as a kid especially, if you become one guy's punching bag, you're going to become 30 other guys' punching bags.
Correct. Right. You know, and I think it boils down to, though, with for me, lifting weights has given me a lot of confidence in myself.
Yep.
And that projects. You
sure
know,
it does.
I think people see a person who's trained, who's fit, and they walk different, and they carry themselves differently, and they behave differently, and there's an image there. You don't want to mess with that guy or that lady. Well, you know, not that I go out of my way to be an idiot, although my wife says I do at times. but I write that off to being an old guy. That's part of my, you know, perks of being old. But anyway, you know, you just show confidence in yourself, and that way you never have to be tested.
Nope. And not only that, it all goes to leadership. It all goes to, you know, I always say steward of strength, and I mean that. You know, I go out places that people don't know me, and they'll strike up a conversation. The best way they do it, because they're not sure, is, do you lift weights? I can't tell you how many times that's been asked me in my life. Yeah. Now, if I decide I want to talk to this person, I'll say, yes, I do. I said, do you? And they'll be like, well, I've tried it, and it'll end up entering in a conversation. I've said this before in other shows. We've been at family functions, all kinds of things with people I don't even know. And my mother or somebody will say to me, do you know that guy or girl? I'm like, never met him in my life. And they start laughing, because my mother's a lot like that too. I've never been anywhere with her where somebody she doesn't know. She, you know, I think I get a lot of that from her and my dad too. I've been very blessed. You know, people say to me before they come on the show or after, have you had vocal lessons? No. You know where I got my vocal lessons? Was in college and growing up in a big family and everything. Right. Well, I, what do you do with your voice and all this? And I'm like, just take good care of it, man. You know, and you know, you talk confidence. Well, you got to have a lot of confidence to come on and run your own show. And, you know, how many people I can tell you, you know, at first they were a little uncomfortable, even though there's not a camera on them, and they'll say to me at the end, wow, how easy was that? And, you know, if something happened, I knew you were there to fill it in and all that. Well, that's the idea. When I bring Carmen or anybody on, I'm the guy here. We're talking about the subjects and everything, but the show's about whoever is my guest here, you know. And we have a very good exchange. And these things are very important. And, you know, I've been very lucky to not be afraid to stand up in front of people, because I know the majority of people are petrified of that. And that's too bad. But you know something? That's something you got to get over. And some people, you know, look, not everybody wants to be the lead singer in a band. Some guys like to play the bass in the background or drum. Or right. You know, it's usually the lead guitar player or the rhythm guitar player and the singer that are out in the forefront. That's fine because everybody is good at something. Everybody's got their place. I like being the ringleader here. I love doing it. I love having everybody in the circus here, and we have a hell of a good time because that's the whole idea. You know, if I say to Carmen, hey, my throat's bothering me today, you know, I'm going to talk to you, but you're going to have to carry the show. I don't have to worry about that. So, you know, this is the beauty of doing all this stuff, the beauty of weightlifting. I mean, I said other than my family, you know, the weights are – I can't tell you how many times in the last 3 years alone – if it wasn't for weight training with things with the business and everything, we're still going through it, I probably would have cracked, literally. It's the idea that I've built so much mental, physical, and internal strength in me over the years. You become a certain style of a human being. Now, Carmen made reference where we don't walk the same, we don't talk the same, we don't think the same. Right on the money. But I'll take it even a little further. I like that whole thing, the whole passage of what we're doing here. But you know what I like even more? It's like when you are accessible to people and you are kind to people, you know, this is why I feel that this show is busting wide open week to week, day to day, because there's something here that I know because I get feedback you're not getting from other people. Right. Or all it is a ploy to get you to spend money. Believe me. I need money. There's products. There's going to be everything out there. I'm not going to shy away. This is what I want to do the rest of my life for a living. But I'm giving you as much or more for me than you'll get from anybody. And that's the way I've been brought up. That's the way I live because I want to see everybody have success in their own way. You don't have to go out and pick a tank up. You don't have to go out and push a car down the road. You don't have to go to Iceland and lift a 418-pound rock. But what you have to do is you have to establish something that's very important in your life. And right. You have to go after it tooth and nail, okay? If you can't do that, look, we all know there's a lot of people that are unhappy and happy in a 9-to-5 job. You go to your cubicle every day. You go to lunch at noon. You leave. You know, you do your 7.5 hours. You go home at 4. Go home, fall asleep. You probably got 1, 2, 3 kids. Hopefully you got somebody else helping you, a husband or a wife. And then, you know, you sit there and you go to – and then within an hour after you've fallen asleep in a chair, you go to bed. Well, maybe that's all right for some people, but I myself have wanted more my whole life. All right?
I can't do that.
No. But
I mean, I'm only given a certain number of minutes.
Yep.
And take advantage of them, you know?
Yeah.
I just, the whole thing about going to the gym is what I just eat it up. You know, Fred Hatfield said years back, you know, he said the gym is a place for the weak to get strong.
Oh, yeah.
And the strong to get humility. Yep. And every time I start thinking, I'm the badass dude, that bar says, yeah, you might want to rethink that a little bit.
Yeah, because the bar, when it comes down to it, we always say, the bar
could, hard,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, the bar could care less if you lift me or not.
That's right. You know, because gravity is the one law you can't break, brother.
Exactly.
You know?
Hey, Carmen, not only that, when we had pictures up of the stone and steel yard we always put up, James Fuller sends a thing one day, and James is great, man. And he says, damn, he goes, that's the graveyard that chases weakness out of anybody. And it was hilarious, man, the way he put it. But
he said something, you know, I put those videos up on his, what is it, Strongman
Archaeology
is his site. I put those videos up on his site as well as a couple of others.
Yep.
And for the gym rats and for a couple, you know, my personal page. And he came back and he said, damn, he said, I need to get back in the gym. And I said, I can't do the stuff you're doing. He grabs those 45s by the belt and lifts them up. And I'm thinking, you know, for one thing, I've got relatively small hands. And my arthritis has brought me to a dead stop, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, you're the man as far as I'm concerned. I can't do what you do. And he said, but you're 71.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I thank you for that, I think.
Yeah, he means it. He's up in Maine, and we are going to have him down here, you know, and do some training with him. Oh, he's a
in strong conditions. Now, some of the videos I've seen of him doing those hub lifts, he's out there, there's snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
You can see the steam coming out of him as he's breathing, and I thought, that's nuts.
Yeah, he's
one guy that lifts with me, this 55-year-old dude who's retired Air Force, old Jerry Burnham, he's from Maine. His mom lives 3 miles from the Canadian border.
Yep.
And he said that his goal when he got out of high school and joined the Air Force was to get to a place where people didn't know what a snow shovel was, you know?
Not me, man.
Weather stuff, you know?
Well, I think that weather makes you very hardy and tough.
Yeah, it does.
But when you start getting up there in age, you want to go in a warmer climate and all that. I'm definitely getting out of New York, but I'll find, if I'm going to stay in the U.S., I'll go somewhere where it's harsh. Might be Montana, somewhere like that, where you got winter still. I'm the only one out of all of my brothers and sisters that likes snow.
Yeah.
I'm the only one. I don't know. I'm the only one that visits my father and my brother at the cemetery, too. My mother will go once in a while. There's things about me that are just different. We're all the same mother and father, but it's very unique. You know, I'm looking at my nieces and nephews right now on my big mirror. They're all genetically intertwined with each other, but they're all different looking, and they're all unique. And it's just amazing that, you know, five kids could come from the same parents and just be so different. I mean, and I think that's what life's about, man. It's differences. It's the ability to go out and do whatever you want. It's the ability to hard charge towards the goal, not run away from it. And more than anything, we talked about it a number of times. It's the struggle. It's the struggle, right, folks. And I know people say, well, you shouldn't have struggle. Well, then, if you don't have struggle, then is your heart beating? Your body's fighting every day to live, and people just don't get it. And I'll wind my end up, and I'll let you summarize everything. Is this, Carmen? Anybody that hasn't touched a weight or a sandbag or a stone or whatever in their life, and you listen to this show or you found us, I'm telling you right now, go after it. Fully. If you need help, you can. I'm sure Carmen would help you. I would surely help you. It's going to give you the ability to do things and think things you never did in your whole life. And there's too many people sitting there rotting out. They're mentally rotting. They're physically rotting. And I know a lot of people. I've heard people say, I've even been around, a lot of them can't wait to die. I don't even think
That's
of
sad.
Things. Yeah, I don't even think of things like that. It's like, where's that stuff coming from, you know? And that, what you need to do is start building the wall, man. Start building the wall, and I mean you. Build the wall that's impenetrable. And if it comes in and hits you, you can recover from it. See, you know, like Carmen said in the beginning, you know, one day we are all going to die. That's a fact of life. But damn it, man, you might as well live life as hard as you can while we're all living and breathing. And look, think about, and I'll send it to you in a moment. I think about this every day. The concept for motivation, muscle, FBC, all that, and the creativity and all the stuff that's still going on with both of them, and I want them to go to another 30 years. I got to tell you, I never would have met Carmen otherwise and with the show. I don't even remember. I probably contacted him. I don't remember how some people have contacted me. We're still doing all that, the whole deal. But think about it. You know, I would have missed out on this gentleman. I mean, do you realize everybody out there how, well, I got to say weightlifting. I mean, this is all unity together. That's why I say we're all family. We're having a golden opportunity to meet people we never met, open new doors for us, and who knows where all this stuff can go. I've met more people that were talking about doing this, that, and the other thing, you know, traveling to go lift stones with people I never even met before. I got an offer the other day. John Bruni and I were talking about, he says, you know, a few of us need to go out on the road together and start speaking, and I couldn't agree with him more. But until we build the equity up here, we've got to put the, what's left into the business to make it thrive. Once it's thriving, we're gonna. You wait to see where this bus is going. I'm telling everybody out there, you don't have a clue to what I got sitting there ready to go. And the biggest triumph, I need to get over to Iceland and conquer that stone finally. I have to get that done and done within the next year or less. And then, you know, when you got guys like Martin Janziks and, you know, Stevie, and, you know, you got guys like Charlie, all these guys over in Scotland and Ireland that are like, you got to get over here. You know, Martin, make me an offer. Come with me. We'll do the whole stone tour in Scotland, and then he goes, we'll take you to Wales, and we'll go and lift three big stones, but Martin has never lifted the Húsafell, so he and I would meet in Iceland, and, you know, I said, if there's any interest, we might advertise it, and hey, you know what, get on Icelandic Air, and we'll meet you, I'll tell you where we got to meet, and we'll get right up to there. The point I'm trying to make here, Carmen, is this, if engaging people and making lifelong friends and taking the iron and getting better and better with it, and dealing with your failures, because there's going to be plenty of them, learning your mind, learning yourself as much as you can, because we'll never know everything, you know, obviously, because we're just not going to. But if you want to become the best you can be, if you want to talk to a guy like Carmen, who's seen so much, who's such an interesting man, that and I know one thing about Carmen. Carmen's the kind of guy that'll have your back. See, when I talk to him offline, I'll tell him things that I wouldn't say to a lot of people, and I'll tell you the main reason, is I know he's not a chick that's going to go out and publicize it all over. See, that's very important to men. This is why, you know, and maybe we're going to talk about this, and we probably should down the road. Men are very careful, well, at least I am, are very careful what I say to other men.
Well, you got that right.
Right? I'm very tone deaf to a lot of people, obviously, and that's of my own choice. I like to engage, like I love talking strength. Obviously, you hear Carmen and I could go offline with him and talk to him for another hour or two. You know, I was on the phone just to let everybody knows Steven Santangelo is on here with me, but Steven is one of the nicest people I've ever met. And Steven's a tough ass like Carmen. It just seems all these Italians, all right? And we were on the phone for over 3 hours the other day. Now, if you know, this is what I do for a living, so I got to be careful of my voice talking like that. But you know what? You meet these people that are just so damn interesting, and you have so much in common. Now, he's going to be 65 years old. He's much older than I am, but it doesn't matter because I can relate to these guys like Carmen and Steven and Frank DeMeo and, you know, Bill Hinburn. All these guys, most of them are old enough to be my father. But you know what it is? I respect them so damn much, and I put so much on what they say to me that I could care less, man. I learn from these men. And if you can start getting into this the way I do it, Carmen does it, and it's going to take you a long time, especially if you stick with it. I'm telling you right now, weightlifting, and we'll just leave it at that for the name, will take you places that nothing will ever. I don't care if it's education. Yeah. I don't care if you read 100,000 books. I don't care if you train with 100,000 people. I don't care if you go to the most prestigious Ivy College in the world. I got news for you, folks. Weightlifting is the bottom end of the top end. Think about that. The bottom end of the top end. Carmen, summarize. Take your time. Give out any info. I'll give mine and hang on the line, and we'll get ready for the next show, please.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for having me. And like I said just before we got on the air, I put on Facebook, I said I was getting ready to have a
podcast with
you. Yep. And I'm still trying to figure out why you had me on, because I'm just a guy, you know, an old buzzard in Oklahoma that just has gotten obsessed with lifting weight.
Yep.
But I like to call it resistance training, because weightlifting, most people think of Olympic lifting, you know. But
yeah.
Resistance training means you're pushing against something that's going to push back.
Yep.
And that's what life is. You push against it, and life pushes back. And if you're tough enough, you're going to push and win.
Yep.
If not, it's going to push you back to your boundary. You know, you got to dig your heels in and get after it. I love the sport. I love the challenge that it gives me. I love the fact that I have met incredible people through this sport. Yep. You know, like I do, and everybody who's heard more than one show here, I have a gym at home. I can't say no to people. They say, can you help me? I say, yeah, come on by and we'll see what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm working with former students. I'm working with children of former students, you know, that and alone for me is a fulfilling attitude, because it says, okay, I left a mark here. I just didn't pass through life. You know, everybody's got a start point and an end point, you know, but that dash, I mean, you look at tombstones and it says 1920 to 1990 in that dash. What did you do in that dash, Eric? Did you make a difference, or did you just sit and occupy space?
Yep.
I want to make a difference as much as I can, you know, and I've met the coolest folks, and everybody you meet, you learn from.
Yep.
If you take the time, you know. And some of it's good, some of it's not, but you're still learning. And it's all about what I like about training with this resistance, this progressive resistance, heavy training, is that it's very humbling.
Yep.
But it's so fulfilling when you reach a goal that you busted your hump to achieve, and it shows up and you say, yes, it was all worth it. Yep. It was like when my wife and I were dating 41 years ago. You know, and she ran just fast enough for her to catch me. Every second of it's been worth it. We'll be 40 years married in August, and every minute of it's been worth it.
Yep.
You know, and it's the same as any goal that you have. You know, set your plan and work that plan, and it'll happen. And be happy. Enjoy every day. Yep. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Yesterday's in the past. That's why this day is called the present, because it's a gift, and take advantage of it. Hit the gym. Test yourself. How do you know what you can do unless you push and find out? You know, that's all it is. It's just it's a daily test. Some days you feel better. Some days you don't, but you still have to test, and you still have to pass the test. And the way I'm put together, I'll be a son of a gun if I'm going to fail the test more than 2 days in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what it is, Carmen? It really is a gift to be able to weight train.
Yeah.
This is my whole point of the show. I just want to get this to enough people where we've changed, and I've heard this, change so many hearts and minds, and get them involved, and we'll take the next step from there, rather than say, hey, buy my $25 book and it's all going to end. You know what? Every show I do with one of our family here is a book or a chapter. If I went through with every show that you and I have done, we've definitely got enough to put out a book. And we could go chapter to chapter with the show. Maybe we are even going to do that someday. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, you want to read it, you want to listen to a book, listen to the shows. Listen to every show Carmen and I have done together. Because Carmen and I do long shows. I always say we're going to do it in 45 minutes. Right now, we're at an hour 30. All right? So you got more than enough information every time. And the thing is, this is the stuff you can listen to. Because, you know, as they say with podcasting, some people are good for maybe 30 minutes. But another one, people keep it on for an hour and a half. There's a lot of truth to that. So I implore everybody. And I always do, but you know what? If you're not weight training, or you've been out of it for a long time, or you got hurt, you got the green light to do it again, do it. Don't even think about what if. Just think about what can. Because when you ask those questions like that, you're going to get the answers. And I got news for you. I ask myself every day with the business and weightlifting. Things could be going over the edge, all right? And you ask yourself, why am I still doing this? I guarantee you, you'll get the best answer every time. You know why? Because the love you have and the passion for what you have with what you do is going to always override that negative that just happened. And you might not see it at first, but you're going to, because you're going to be sitting there, or you might be standing over a weight you just failed on, and it's going to go bing, right off in your head. So, Carmen, do you got anything else, my friend?
No, I don't. Just, you know, thank you again for having me.
Yes, sir.
And Frank DeMeo, every time you and I do one of these, the next day after you've published it, he puts up, he says, I'm getting psyched after listening to Eric and Carmen. Now, this guy I respect.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, Frank, you need help if I get you inspired, you know. But it's cool, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Yep.
I am so grateful to still be alive at my age and be able to do things, you know.
Yep.
And I appreciate you letting me be on the show. If you anybody that's bored, you can find me on Facebook. I belong to Strong and Over 40, Strong and Over 60, Strong and Over 65, Strongman Archaeology. And I've got my personal page, you know, and there's a closed group called Gym Rats that I set up.
Yep, I've got that. Me. Yep.
And there are some folks that are out of the area but who follow us, and I've added them to it, you know, and you're one of them.
I'm one of them, yep.
And it's just so, you know, if you want to see an old guy try to do stuff, just tune in. You're only limited by yourself. That's the thing. People are to say, well, I can't do that. How do you know if you haven't tried?
Exactly.
Step up and try.
Yep.
You may not be able to lift 500 pounds, but by God, you can sure lift 25.
Exactly.
25 is the first step on that journey to 500.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. Frank DeMeo has been a great friend to me from the very beginning of the show. Obviously, Frank's on the show. We're going to be doing a killer show with I and Gary Reinl near the end of the month, because Gary, you know, is down with all the Major League Baseball teams now with spring training. But Frank is gold to me, and Frank, like yourself, you know, you always be welcome here. You always lend so much to myself and the show. And,
let me tell you something about Frank DeMeo.
Sure.
Tell you what kind of guy he is. And I know he's going to hear this, and I don't want to embarrass him. But after our last show, which was just before Christmas time, okay, he sends me a message, Facebook Messenger thing. And he said, what's your address? And I came back and I told him, you know.
Yeah.
And about 3 days later, I get a package. It's a T-shirt from his gym, the cave.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy doesn't know me from Adam's house cat, yet he's doing this. That's a class dude right there.
Absolutely. He sent me a bunch of cave stickers. They're up in my my gym.
One of those too.
Yeah. He's a wicked good guy.
He forced me, not forced, but, you know, I told my wife, I said, I got to send this guy one of our gym shirts.
Sure.
So I said, what size? And he told me, and I got it off, and it got to him just before Christmas, and I'm happy for that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the way it works. You know, I mean, people like one another, they support one another, and like I said, you know, I've never met anybody that's been on the show, well, other than Sean locally. I've had Ned, too, there are a couple local guys, but other than Ned and Sean, I have never met anyone, and we will. We will, I mean, but, you know, right now there's other things that need to be taken care of. And then after this, you know, getting very solvent, I'm going to find that rock because it's looking for me every day. So, I mean, that I have to get there. That's something as a man I have to do and finish. So that's coming up this year. I hope everything will go the way I'm pushing like hell. But this is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks. All you have to do is give us your email address. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, go out and look at everything. Go out and just look at all the shows Carmen and I have done. As I said, there's probably a lot of chapter books sitting there ready to go. So if you really want to get some information, some real teaching, and some good laughs, because there's plenty of them through there, check it out. I'm telling you right now, we might not have been up the longest out there, but I'll tell you what, we've got a pretty deep vault, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. And as I said, if we're not number one, we will be, and it will be sooner than later. We will have millions of listeners here, and I can't wait to tell everybody about it. Also, too, go out to Motivation and Muscle. Well, no, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. That's where we want to go. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and we thank you for that. If there's a show you'd like Carmen and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com, or leave comments on the M&M site. Also, too, if you have the ability to get podcasting in your car, we are on the directory of AHA, that's AHA, Motivation and Muscle. Then you got us 24/7, and that's a hell of a way to drive around in your car. Also, I'll leave you with a number of things here. Number one, if someone seeks you in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration. It'll change your life forever. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. And if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoos of Steel, Crush Your Stone, says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to M&M since the beginning, and he has been a guest, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for at least the next 28 to 30 years. And as I always call it now, it's called the testosterone balloon. Also, too, Frank Klein, greatest business teacher in college, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And John Ridge, who is passing his almost 3 years now, he was my chiropractor, and he was like a father figure to me. I lost my dad long before I met John. John walked every patient in the door no matter what. Keep smiling, he said to him. I dare you to say that to yourself on a good or bad day. You will smile from ear to ear. I'm doing that right now, believe me. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 of your friends or more, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Join our family. Be part of the revolution. Carmen, it's always an honor to have you on, sir. Great topic. And as usual, we went all over. And, boy, you'd want to talk about some outstanding talk, and this is something people are going to live by down the road, I guarantee you.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoy it immensely. And, you know, coming from the area of the country you're in,
yep,
it's good to hear that accent again.
That's what everybody said to me. The other day, there's a couple people that sent me a thing. They said, we really like your personality, but what we like is that tough guy accent, well, man. I was like, what?
I've spent 3 years in New York, and I left. No, but it's good to hear that.
Thanks, man. It's always appreciated, Carmen. You're a good man.
The show was awesome.
Thank you. It always is, and you know how much I appreciate you here, believe me. As the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you. We'll take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know many people in today's world that would even say that. So we'll have Carmen on. We're doing some things now. It might be next month. It might be early May. We got to see. We're launching 3 big products. So we got to see what's going on time-wise. But we're going to try to get them on with a few other people in April. So, for Carmen Caputo, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. As I said, we'll get this show up as fast as I can. We've got a lot of shows in front. Tonight I'm going to put up Bill Hinburns with me, which was, wait to hear this show. It was just, it's like all of them. It is just insane, all the stuff we got. We did Professor Louis Attila. Wait to hear this show. It was outstanding. So, Carmen and I will talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And go out and do something special. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.